Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's nice to be back with you again. Now, I want to read some verses to you and with you from 2 Peter. Those of you who were here on the Lord's Day morning, I hope, will recognize this chapter, for it's one that Dr. Douglas preached from in the morning service on the Lord's Day. But we just want to read a few verses from 2 Peter. Everybody got it? The chapter 3, 2 Peter. Give that wee man a hand there to get 2 Peter. There we go. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and we read from verse 9. Ready? Verse 9 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The promise we're particularly thinking about here is the promise of the Lord Jesus to return. Peter's showing how that there are those who will come and will say, where is the promise of his coming? Where is it? And scoff at the idea of the return of Christ. But Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Do you know why there's a long delay in the Savior returning? Do you? Tells us there. He's long-suffering to usward. When the Lord comes, there'll be judgment. Judgment upon those who have heard the gospel and rejected it. And the Lord, in his mercy and love, is long-suffering. He gives opportunity for those who hear the gospel to repent. So that's what lies behind the apparent delay in the Savior's return. He's not coming swiftly to judge, but he is long-suffering. He's holding back because of mercy, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. Oh, you can be sure of that. The day of the Lord will come, and it will come as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. That is, it will come as a thief in the night to those who are not watching, those who are not ready. Now, he will not come as a thief in the night to those who are ready, to those who are waiting for him. They will not be caught out the way a thief catches out the householder when he sneaks into the house while the householder's sleeping and not watching. He will come as a thief in the night to those who are not ready. That's why I'm dealing with this subject, that you might be among those who are awake and watching. He will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That will all take place in the day of the Lord. That will all take place in the day of the Lord. Now, well, it's not my purpose today. Maybe we'll come to this later in our study. But let me just tell you that the day of the Lord is a prolonged period. It's not a 24-hour day. It's a long period. It refers to that period in which the Lord Jesus will rule and reign in this earth. It will be his day. He said on one occasion to those who hated him during his earthly ministry, he said, this is your day. This is your day. This is the day in which you do what you like. You have your way. This is the period in which man and his sin dominates. He called it your day, the day of man. Well, here's the day of the Lord. It's the day when the Lord's rule and the Lord's law and the Lord's commandments dominate and rule the world. The day of the Lord. It will begin, that day will begin when the Savior comes. And at the end of that day, well, Peter refers to it here. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. That's the end of the day of the Lord. That's what Peter is saying here, and we should particularly just take note of how it is put. Let's read it again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which, in that day, here's one of the things that will happen. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. That's going to happen, all right. In the day of the Lord, it'll happen at the end of it. That's the final scene. That's the conclusion of the day of the Lord. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for, get that phrase, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Looking for. Got to keep our eyes open, our minds centered upon that wonderful day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Amen. Now, our subject, well, you know it pretty well by now. It's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have considered how that it is an important subject. And as Miss Dean announced, if you have forgotten what we said, you can go and listen again. It's up there on the internet on my site, and you can listen to it again. Sometimes when we hear a thing for the second time, we hear it a lot better. So, you listen again. Well, we considered, you see, how that it is an important subject, and I gave you reasons why it is an important subject. Not because I say so. Not because it's a subject that I particularly like. That wouldn't make it an important subject. What makes it an important subject is the reasons I set before you last Tuesday and again on last Thursday. Now, as we come to the subject again today, I want to emphasize, using the words of Peter here, that it is an event that we are to wait for and watch for. We're to expect, we're to wait, we're to watch for. Now, there are some who would tell us that you can never know when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. You can never know. As we have already said, it says in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And there are those who say, there you are, he's going to come as a thief in the night and nobody will know anything about it. But as I said, the thief in the night only catches out those who are not watching. Who are not watching. If someone is watching, they'll catch the thief. And when the Savior says that he will come as a thief in the night, he's referring to the fact that many in the world will not be thinking about, not have their minds centered upon. Indeed, they will have dismissed from their minds altogether the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. No, you and I are required to watch. Peter says it here in the verses 11 and 12. What manner of persons ought we to be, he says, verse 12, looking for, looking for. Now you can't look for that which can't be seen. The Savior commands us repeatedly to watch for his coming. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Let's see who can turn it up nice and quickly. Matthew chapter 24. And the verse 42 of that chapter. Matthew chapter 24. The Savior in the early part of Matthew chapter 24 has been giving great details concerning his second coming. What will happen? It ought to thrill your soul if you read it. And read it carefully. When you see the things that are going to be happening when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Just before he comes. Well, he says then in verse 42, watch. Therefore, in the light of what I have just told you, he says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord may come. You can't say, well, he'll be here for 100 years, therefore I don't need to even think about it. I can forget all about it. No, no. You've got to be on the watch. You've got to be on the watch. And not only the Lord Jesus urged upon the Church of Christ a watchfulness, but the apostles also, when they were writing their epistles, they urged the people to be on the watch. Look at Paul's epistle, his first epistle to the Thessalonian church. Turn it up, and you'll find in the chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he says, verse 1, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, when he says, "I don't need to write unto you," that's because he had taught them. He had instructed them. That's like me saying, "Well, I've spent some time teaching you about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no need for me to write to you about it. I've taught you." And that's what Paul is saying. And he says, further, if you look, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say," who's they? The worldly ones. The unsaved ones. Those who are not careful and watching and thinking about the Savior's return. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The Lord's telling us here that in the time just before he comes, the world's going to be lying back at ease. It's going to be saying, it's going to go on like this. We've no need to think about the coming of Christ. He's not going to be coming. All's well. All's well. A bit like the people in the day of Noah. When he told them, judgment's coming, God's going to flood the world. Ah, nonsense. And they didn't take any alarm from his warnings. And what happened? They got caught. Judgment fell and they weren't prepared. Then again, Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot issued the warning. They laughed at it all. Time and time again, you find that same scene. Jeremiah. He preached about judgment coming because of the sins of the people of God. But the people had false prophets who rose up and said, "This is all nonsense. This is all nonsense. Things are going to be all right with us here in Jerusalem and in Judah." But they were wrong. Jeremiah was right. And men and women will have themselves deceived. And false prophets will encourage that deception. And the Lord, when he comes, will come as a thief in the night to those who say everything's well. And sudden destruction shall come upon them. Verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "But ye, brethren." Now, look at the contrast. Verse 3, "When they shall say." He's talking about the worldly ones. Then in verse 4, "But ye, brethren." Christians. Those that he has instructed. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." You're not ignorant about this matter. "That the day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night, nor darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober." You see, the Christian who reads his Bible, studies his Bible, is instructed in his Bible, he's watchful. He knows the Lord's coming. And he's watching out for it. Not carried away with the lies of the worldly who say he's not coming. Therefore we can lie back and not worry about anything. No, we're not like those. We're not like those. So, the Savior says watch. The Apostle says watch. Now, as I said, you cannot watch for that which can't be seen. When the Savior says to you, watch, then there is something for you to see. There's something for you to see. There are signs which will indicate the approach of Christ. I was thinking, just as I meditated upon these words before I come down, I was thinking of the weather forecasts. You know, they say rain's coming today, somewhere in the afternoon. And if you look out the window, you can see the clouds beginning to assemble in the sky, and you can see the sky getting dark. Now, you don't know what time the first raindrop will fall. You can't tell when the first raindrop will fall, but you know that it's going to rain. Well, it's the same with the coming of the Lord. I don't know the day nor the hour that he's going to come, but I will see the gathering clouds. that indicate his coming and the judgment that will accompany his coming is drawing very near. So don't let anybody tell you that you can never know when the Lord Jesus is coming, because you will know, and you will know it ever more clearly as the time approaches and the clouds are getting darker and darker. You know rain's coming. Rain's coming. You know the Lord is about to return. What does it mean to be watchful? Well, it means actually just to stay awake and be alert. During war, every night, the different units of the army, wherever they are, and other elements of military forces, put out watchmen. And it's a most important job. Do you know why? Because if you fail on your watch, they will shoot you in the morning. It is a fault, a crime, punishable by death, for a military watchman to go asleep during his watch. Because the enemy can come and kill everybody in the unit. So everybody's depending on that one man staying awake during the period of his watch. And it's deemed a great, great crime and a great betrayal of his companions for him to fall asleep. That's what's in this word here. Watch. Be on guard. As the days are getting darker and more wicked, watch, watch, so that you might be on the alert and pass on the warnings to others. You know the sad thing? The sad thing, boys and girls, is that the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 25, we read how he said in Matthew chapter 24, watch. But in Matthew chapter 25, tells us that the church will slumber and sleep. And as the time of his return comes, the church will be sleeping. The first five verses, I leave it to you to read it. You'll find you are familiar, I'm sure, with the story. But the key verse is the verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. I tell you, the Savior says that at the end of this age, just prior to his return, there's going to be a spirit of sleep upon the professing people of God. There is a warning for you that you might not be caught up in that sleepiness, but that you might remain watchful. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, do write your word upon our hearts. And give us the grace, Lord, to learn and study and take in what is in your word concerning your return. And Lord, help us to be faithful to thee by watching, so that we might not get deceived and carried away with the falsehoods of this day. Oh, answer prayer now, we ask. And bless the boys and the girls here, for Jesus' sake. Amen.